Welcome to episode 10 of Unraveling Karma, an evolutionary astrology podcast to help you deepen self-understanding and make changes for the better. My name is Tom Jacobs, and I'm an evolutionary astrologer and psychic medium in Los Angeles, California. And you can find me on the web at tdjacobs.com. And I offer two original natal reports. One is a true Black Moon Lilith report, and one is a 2012 natal report prep course. And I also offer tutoring and private counseling sessions through my site, and also a bunch of articles, etc. So today I have two charts for you, two questions from listeners. The first one is from Sharon in Sebastopol, California, and I'm going to give you her data first off the bat. It is July 10th, 1956, at 7 a.m. in Detroit, Michigan, and Sharon writes, transiting Pluto is conjunct my natal Argent Suri late in the fifth house. Both were in opposition to my natal Mercury. I expect my consciousness, awareness, and communication to go through some transformations. At this point in my life, it feels like a deepening into my authentic self. Any thoughts on how to best work with these energies would be appreciated. When you're making up the chart, look up asteroid 20300, which is Argent Suri, which figures prominently in this answer, as you just heard in the question. So, yeah, transiting Pluto, hitting the Argent Suri, and then having the Argent Suri in a natal opposition with Mercury. So, a couple things I want to say. The first is that this Mercury is actually the South Node ruler. Sharon's South Node is in Gemini in the 11th house, and so the ruler by sign is Mercury in Cancer in the 11th house. So, what this means is that her South Node environments, her past life environments, are of a Gemini 11th house nature, but her role in those environments is of a Cancerian 11th house nature. So she will, to some degree, identify as this Cancerian 11th house type person. She'll kind of expect to be treated like that. She'll kind of think that her role in life, in her family, in the workplace, in the world, will in some ways be that, because she's kind of coming out of many, many lives of having had roles that reflect that symbolism. So that being said, when you have a body in the chart in opposition to the South Node ruler, we're talking about energies that opposed the person in past lives. And now the person will be holding some kind of tension, some kind of energy about the opposition, and therefore people will come in to manifest that, to physically fill out that energy. So she may actually, or I should actually say that she will have, Sharon will have manifested Argent Suri, Capricornian 5th house Argent Suri type people to oppose her in some way. Now we don't know from looking at the chart how she responds to that. You know, if she takes this opposition energy as the great teaching energy that it can be, meaning if you and I are standing opposite each other, we can either, you know, it can be the energy of the gunslingers who are facing off, or it can, you know, where somebody's got to go because we stand for different things and somebody's got to win, or it can be, well, I can actually see you in a way that I can't see myself. So let me give you my perspective on you, and then you give me your perspective on me, and then we can actually learn from each other in ways. But that can be very confronting and very challenging, to be seen by somebody in a way that we can't see. So in various ways, I'm sure in many ways, in past lives and earlier in this life, Sharon's been confronted by Capricornian Argent Suri people. What this has to do with is Argent Suri is about the process we go through to develop a relationship with our conscience, and then live with that relationship kind of in the forefront of our minds, meaning creating our lives to reflect what our conscience has to say. So if she's being opposed by Capricornian Argent Suri type people, Capricorn is about structure, about limitation, about solidity, about long-term hard work. So if she's being opposed by these people, it can be very, very difficult for a Cancerian type person to be opposed by this kind of Capricorn energy. So as Pluto comes up to this Argent Suri, and Pluto is not technically an orb as it's stationed about 3.5, which is almost 4 degrees off that Mercury. I wouldn't count that. But because it's tied up in this opposition, and because this opposition involves a South Node ruler, I really think it counts. And I think her question is a fantastic one, because it's really going to this process, this Plutonian opposition to this Mercury, is really going to bring up a lot of stuff. Whatever Sharon has about conscience has put on other people, because we're talking about the opposition, whatever she has decided that other people are that she might not be, she's going to have to integrate that. She's going to have to kind of tear down the structure of this projection as whatever Pluto goes over, it tries to tear down so that what is, what, you know, the useful, wonderful seeds in that can grow from the bottom up, from the ground up. So this is the bad rap Pluto gets for being destructive. The difficulty is in when we resist and when we fight what, you know, old structures and what doesn't work and basically what isn't authentic. If those things start to crumble and we fight it, that's when Pluto transits stink. So just a note for everybody who has Pluto transits and thinks that, you know, the world's going to end or they're going to have, you know, some terrible situation or circumstance. The more you resist what Pluto's trying to ask of you, which is deeper authenticity, which is digging below the surface, everything you think, everything you are, what's happening behind that? Why are you like that? This kind of digging detective thing. And it's a little relentless, unrelenting. So in whatever ways that Sharon has met Arjun Suri type people, Capricorn Arjun Suri type people, that kind of hard, critical energy that has to do with conscience, either clinging to it or denying conscience, one way or the other, it doesn't matter. It's the same symbol. She's going to have to learn to integrate that. And all the decisions that she's made about how other people are, she's going to have to realize that it's her. And that she's like that, and she is creating these people. She's basically setting the stage for them to come in because she's holding this tension in her conscience tension in her consciousness about this relationship with conscience. Now, dialing back a little bit in the karmic story, you know, she's this Cancerian 11th house figure, and being opposed by a Capricorn 5th house figure has to do with conscience can look like this. You know, let me start with the South Node in Gemini in the 11th house. The situations that she's coming from have to do with 11th house type environments, which has to do with groups. It can be literally like politics. It can be associations, guilds, this kind of group effort. And Gemini has to do with communication, but also really behind that is this kind of fluidity and this kind of information in and information out and a kind of curiosity and exploration. So she's coming from a place that's operating very fluidly and probably a little, well, mercurial, right? Mercurial. Probably also things change constantly. Now, in that environment, she is a Cancerian 11th house figure. So she is associated with the groups. She is interested in the groups, but she is probably bringing the voice of emotions and the voice of heart and the voice of individuality and personhood and perhaps even some kind of, you know, Cancer can also refer to nationalism and ties to clan and heritage and history. So she's bringing that voice into these groups. Now, being opposed by some kind of Arjun Suri Capricornian 5th house figure can actually be some kind of very powerful, because we're talking about Capricorn, which has to do with status, and it has to do with this achievement, energy of achievement, that hard work and that long term. It can also be energies or people that are older than us, because Capricorn represents time and age. And Capricorn 5th house can certainly be even a governmental influence. The 5th house is traditionally, one of the things it has to do with is royalty. So she can actually, you can imagine the voice that she brings to this group movement being opposed this Gemini, you know, 11th house stuff, being opposed by a very powerful even royal family type figure. So even somebody associated with a crown or something like this, associated in the court. So this kind of opposition of somebody who has, you think about negative Capricorn, fifth house, and there's kind of a harshness and there's a brashness, and there might even be an egocentric harshness and brashness to it with negative Capricorn, fifth house. So this is the kind of energy that opposed her in the past. So if she, Sharon, if you have found yourself having opinions about people in authority, it can even be as broad as that. Having suspicions, having prejudices against people in authority who seem egotistical, this will kind of tell you something about the inner guts of this story. And you can kind of see what some of these assumptions might be. Well, see what the assumptions are, and then you can get on the inside of that and see what the belief you have based on the assumption that you have. And you can untie that step by step in this process. So, generally speaking, transiting Pluto opposing a natal Mercury would have this transformative effect on your consciousness, what you think, why you think, how you organize things in your brain. But because this Arjun Surya is tied up in it, it makes this kind of juicier story. So again, the strategy with this transiting Pluto is to understand that you have to take back everything that you might think isn't yours about this Mercury Arjun Surya opposition. How that critical voice of that Capricorn fifth house is actually a part of you, and it's time for you to regain it in order to release the tension of the opposition that you probably still carry. Now, you are past your first Chiron return. So you're over 50 years old, so you have some life experience. And so I don't expect, if I were speaking to a 20-year-old, I would probably talk about this a little differently, because of this level of Chironic understanding just wouldn't be possible for someone below 50. But I do want to say something else about this Mercury, natal Mercury, in conjunct Chiron right on the descendant. And maybe I should just keep this for another podcast, but for another 10-minute answer, but this is really kind of jumping out at me, especially since you just went through your first Chiron return within the last couple of years. So as Pluto goes over the Arjun Surya and opposes the Mercury, it's highlighting this whole thing. So the karmic story, the past life thing on this in conjuncts are unresolvable tension, at least they appear that way. And it seems that one energy must win, because the two energies in an inconjunct do not share a quality or a sign in common, and they just absolutely don't know how to be in the same room together. In the karmic story in past lives, we're talking about an energy that you couldn't be in the same room with, and that probably in some way brought you to your knees, or ended the situations that you were trying to get done, you were trying to accomplish, what you were doing with your life. And this is a wounded relationship kind of thing. This is a wounded other, a wounded spouse. This is also a rejected spouse. This is a an escapist spouse. This is a kind of even be stuck in the head spouse. But there's something very important that I'm supposed to tell you about this tie-in with the karmic story, and how, if you have recreated spouses and friends who keep you stuck in a certain way because of their own woundedness. Recently, with this Chiron return, it's really critical for you to get inside those stories that you might be carrying around, and those assumptions and those beliefs, and even the pain of it, and unwind it as much as you can, step by step. So as Pluto opposes the Mercury, it just is, it's, I just believe it's going to highlight this stuff. But since you're past your first Chiron return, I would expect you to have gained in the last few years, kind of had some pieces of puzzles fall into place about why you've had relationships the way you have, like why you've attracted what you have, Why, what you appreciate about it, what what kind of boundary issues you might have about woundedness and Chiron, and the kinds of people you attract and why. So I would expect you to have made a lot of progress with that, especially the way you word your question to me makes me think that you are the kind of person who looks into these things, and I would expect you to have learned a lot about those patterns over the last few years. So as this Pluto transit unfolds, related to this Chiron, everything that you've learned in the recent few years about how you may feel this inescapable kind of thing about certain relationships in your life, that's also up to be transformed because this natal Mercury is wrapped up in this in conjunct with Chiron on the descendant. All right, so thank you for writing, and I hope that's helpful for you. And the next listener chart I have for you is Rob in New York. Rob's data are January 11th, 1977, at 7:10 p.m. in Johnson City, New York. And Rob wrote me about a situation that arises in his marriage where, because of some of his past behavior patterns, his wife has made certain decisions about who he is, and he feels this tension about not being related to in the now, in what he's committing to right now, and in what his behavior is right now. And so we agreed that the way to phrase the question would be, why does he need this? Why is he manifesting this situation? What is he trying to see or re-experience or learn about in terms of this feeling of not being heard and not being acknowledged in the moment? So right away, I'm going to go to, if you know me at all, you know I went straight for Pluto. And Pluto is at 14 Libra in the third house. And Pluto is conjunct the moon at 11 Libra, asteroid Lucifer, which is 1930, 1930, and at 9 Libra, and then Ceres, the little dwarf planet, at 8 Libra. So we have this whole, we have this little pileup in Libra in the third house that's about the soul's deepest intentions and the soul's deepest wounding. So one of the fundamental aspects of Libra, is reciprocity. And one of when we have a lot of stuff in Libra, we're supposed to be learning about fairness, learning about harmony, learning about how to have balanced relationships. Libra is not the sign of knowing these things, it's the sign of learning them. So when we talk about Pluto in Libra, there is the soul's desire and the soul's wounding is about fairness, harmony, balance, equality, justice, but also kindness and reciprocity, and on one very practical level, being heard. A lot of Pluto and Libra people have some form of wounding about not being heard. And that's kind of where I want to focus on with Rob today. So the Pluto's there, but also the moon and the asteroid Lucifer and this dwarf planet Ceres. So what this means is that wrapped up in the soul's wounding and desires is Moon, Lucifer, and Ceres. And Moon, for a keyword, we can use family, happiness, needs. For Lucifer, we can use the keywords of serving a higher purpose. And for Ceres, we can use a keyword of nurturing. And putting this all together, Rob has the soul intention of creating harmonious, fair, balanced relationships that serve a higher purpose, that nurture, and also that create family, if not, well, either a sense of family or literally create family. So when we talk about, when we even have the idea of Rob's wife being involved in this, she has to be. If Rob has a wife, then Rob's wife has to be kind of the focal teacher of this situation because we're talking about Pluto Moon together. So, So Rob has this karmic issue about not being heard, about his feelings, Moon, about his desire to serve something greater, Lucifer, and this like nurturing idea not being heard. And in this context, there's also the possibility that he has experienced it not being received by the other person. That's really what we're talking about. So in his consciousness, from past lives, from the karmic angle, the sense of past lives, he is carrying this in his consciousness. So he's going to manifest it. And like I said, his wife is going to be his, I said focal teacher. I didn't want to say focal point. I wanted to say teacher, but I wanted to augment it because it really, it seems to be really coming through her. And what this usually means is that, well, the people that we have the most important relationships with, we are teachers for, and they are teachers for us. So that's kind of why I said that, the focal teacher, where this lesson is coming through for him. So aspects to this stellium in Libra in the third, one in particular that I want to point out, which is retrograde Mercury and Mars. They're together with about a degree apart. They're in Capricorn in the fifth house, and they are squaring it. We're going to read this on two different levels because the first level is that these energies, Mercury and Mars in Capricorn in the fifth house, square, give friction, give trouble to what Rob is trying to do in some other life. And so he's got this imprint now, this energetic imprint, which is what the chart reflects, this aspect reflects, of friction coming from Mars Mercury energies. The other level that I want to read this on is that the South Node ruler is Mars. He has a South Node in very late Libra. So the South, or sorry, the North Node's in late Libra, so the South Node's in very late Aries. And the South Node ruler, therefore, is Mars. So that also means that he, in the karmic past, his role is Capricorn in the fifth house, with a retrograde Mercury energy added to him. And that means that he, in the karmic past, has also been squared by this energy. And that's probably the angle to focus on here. He's squared by this Pluto, Moon, Lucifer series energy. And again, so his wounding is to not being heard. And again, we have this other way of looking at it, which looks at, negative Libra is somebody who doesn't listen to you also. So he's carrying in his consciousness this thing about not being heard, and so he's going to manifest it until he understands why. So what I want to ask Rob is, I want to ask, well, maybe I'll just give Rob a little homework assignment, and he can choose to take it up, or he can choose not to. But what I would suggest, if you came to me for a counseling session in this scenario, is to get inside these feelings. Understand what the feelings really are saying. Get the vibe behind, get the statement behind what the feelings are. So there's this frustration about not being heard. There's this recognition of past behavior maybe contributing to the, maybe it's valid. Maybe if you were still behaving that way, she shouldn't trust you or shouldn't listen to you. But you want to be in the present and leave the past behind. So understand what's behind all these feelings and what's really going on. And then one by one, well, the way I do it is I look at inner children, and I'll take all this past life stuff, and I will find with the psychic medium stuff that I do, I will find the age at which some important or several important things happened that fit this scenario. So in this case, it would be parents, because we're talking about Moon. Not necessarily only mother, but definitely parents or family. Not listening to you when you're a kid. So then tracing that, because dealing with that inner child actually helps deal with this past life tension, because it's happening on all levels simultaneously. But if we can find an event in this life, that you even maybe remember, it's much easier to help you change your consciousness about what happened. And what did happen? It mean what happened is that somebody didn't listen to you. But what this little you decided is that you weren't worth listening to. So there's some juice in there for you to squeeze out and to learn how to work with. And yeah, I feel like that's what I was supposed to tell you in this segment. So thank you for writing, and I hope that that's useful to you. And yeah, and to everybody else, and to Rob, thanks for listening. Again, my name is Tom Jacobs, and I'm on the web at tdjacobs.com. And yeah, like I said earlier, I offer tutoring to help people learn astrology like this. And what I do is I help people learn to think astrologically, which is understanding what the point of the symbols are, what the point of the zodiac is. What is it? How do you work with it? How do you talk about transits? How do you talk about the nodes of the moon and Pluto, and what exactly we're talking about? Because I observe a lot of students of astrology, and even some people who practice astrology, and it is just a one way of thinking about it, but I find it not as helpful. And that way of thinking is this kind of specifics way. So Pluto in Libra in the third house means this. And this kind of practical, concrete thing about someone's life. And I just find that the more that we do that, or if we do that at all, we get away from what's actually happening with real people. People are incredibly dynamic, people are complex, people are always changing, and evolutionary astrology really helps, or really provides kind of a framework to understand how people change over time. Anyway, that's my sales pitch for me t for my tutoring. You can see my site for more information on that. Okay, one more thing. I do offer, if you buy three sessions, I give you a fourth free. That's the end of my sales pitch. All right, so my name is Tom Jacobs, and this is Unraveling Karma, Episode 10. Thank you for listening.